So we take a look here once again. As you know, I want to just thank our wonderful church. We have such a healthy church, and I want to thank our pastoral team as well. I heard of and heard his message, Pastor David Liu's message last Sunday. Many of you even were telling me how great he did, so I want to thank each of you for allowing Ainsley and me to have a little time away after Easter. It was very invigorating being in Oregon Forest, chasing my wife, Adele, really. It's a lot of fun. So grateful. But let's get our Bibles in hand. Shall we do that? Let's get our bulletin card in hand as well. You can see I've listed a lot of things there for you. There's really not a lot of room, so you go ahead and you should have a Who I Am in Christ declaration page. You go ahead and write on that as well. It's going to be important. We're here to want to follow the word, understand what's happening. This is a critical time in history. You're a part of that. If there's ever going to be an end time saint, guess who's it? You're it. Of all the times you could have been born, you could have been born in another century, another time, another setting, but God saw fit to bring you to Hope Chapel. Glory to God. And Ainsley and I take that with all sobriety, saying, Lord, help us lead your wonderful church in this regard. We have been taking a look at the series, Understanding Ways to Fight a Spiritual Enemy. That's been our series. And so today is part three. Before we launch into that, many of you are asking, what's the joke for today? Here we go. It's a quick one. So a young girl went to her mother and said, Mom, how did the human race begin? And she said, oh, honey, that's an easy one. God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so on and so on, and here we are today. So she went to her father and said, Dad, what is your thoughts? How did the human race begin? Well, honey, there were many, many years ago monkeys, and those monkeys evolved into people eventually, and here we are today. Well, she was confused and went back to Mom and said, Mom, you said God created us. Dad says we came from monkeys. He said, oh, sweetie, that's easy to explain. I was telling you about my side of the family. Your father was telling you about his. There you go. Today's message is talking about evil schemes and methods. Evil schemes and methods. The area of dealing with where satanic elements come after people. It's important when we do just that. And so as we begin, let's take a look, because if you are ever following any form of team sport, whether it's football or soccer or hockey or basketball, those teams will study hours of films of their opponents. What is their form of play? What way do they go after things? What's the framework within their game so that we can counteract that and we are aware of how they operate in their opponent, how they play? I remember, first of all, finding out, I used to play high school football and I wrestled, so what Ainsley brought up was my Letterman's jacket. You think, oh, I didn't know he went to Edison. Well, this is actually West Covina called Edgewood High School. And so that's my, I don't get to share this much, so I just thought I would take advantage and just bring it out there. How's that? So there it is, other than maybe trick or treat or something like that. But I do remember I was as a offensive guard, all-league offensive guard. I remember playing our crosstown rival, West Covina High School. And we were there playing, and in a particular really play that was just vintage of our team. And it involved me as a pulling guard. It's how I really got to be all-league. Because a pulling guard pulls out from the line and hunkers down behind the other linemen and surprises the end. And man, I had some of the best knockdown blocks of those defensive ends. They look great on film. We're playing West Covina, and we're down, and the quarterback's about ready to hike, and I hear the middle linebacker of the opposing team, Tony Samaruski's his name, wrestled against him, says, Ducko. Well, that was our play. That was the play nobody knew, but the opponent did. How did that? It totally felt like somebody is a spy on our squad. And it was very difficult to get over that. It was like a mind-altering, how do they know what we're about to do? Well, naturally, we lost that game, lost bad. But I'll never forget, how did they get our plays and how did they know what we were about to do in our formation? And in that, that's what we're finding as well, that as believers, we need to take a look at some play films of our opponent. What is it that that opponent does, and how does that work of darkness actually come at people? Because if we stay in the dark, we're going to come across and feel overwhelmed. We're going to feel maybe worried, paralyzed by fear. And the possibility, as long as evil can cause you to feel like you have no control over the situation, you will be traumatized. That's not right. You have great power, great abilities in Jesus, and we want to recognize that, and that's important for us because that's the purpose of this message, evil schemes and methods. I'm going to open the Bible. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and as we open the Word, Father, thank you for allowing our hearts to be open. Let us see something of the dimension of your grace that carries us through, especially what so much of what we're facing in our society, in our world is happening. We're seeing here where it says, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil scheme. Just take a look at that. So we have an opponent. We want to be familiar with these evil schemes. And we're going to take a look the same way sports teams would want to see. What is the opponent? How are they going to approach us? What way are they going to play against us so we can counteract? We're going to take a look at our spiritual opponent and take a look at some film today. That's really what it is. How does evil operate? So you say, man, that is demonic. So here we go. We're going to begin and apply these things that we need to apply. Number one, Satan's purpose is to exalt self and oppose God. We've seen some of this. Some of this is review, but letter A, Satan's desire is to be like the Most High. That's his desire. We look here for a moment at Isaiah 14, verse 14, where it says, I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. That was Lucifer's desire. I'm going to do this. This is who I'm going to become. And he traffics in that approach with other people. Listen, Satan does not want people to worship him. That's not what his aim is. He wants people to be like him, to go and do their own thing, to be anything but in agreement with God, to live independently from God. And he does it by promoting lies. And one of the lies is found in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, it's very clear how he operates through society. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. This is the foundation of all his operation. Just serve yourself. Just take care of you. Do your own thing. Just don't submit to God. You don't need to get into this book. It'll just tell you things that are opposite of what you really want to do. So letter B, Satan opposes the people of God. Now, I'm going to list some things here that's on your screen for you who are at home or join us in a break room, but you might want to write these things down. Why would Satan want to oppose the people of God? We'll take a look at how he goes about doing it, but why us? We're good people. We're nice people. We get along with everybody. We help humanity. We're out there serving community. Number one, we carry out the purposes of God. That's the What is that purpose? Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, Hope Chapel has always had a clear statement, clear purpose. It's always before you. If somebody were to read that, it's right here, actually, on your bulletin card. This is our mission statement. We have combined our great command to love God with all you have, love your neighbor as yourself, and the Great Commission, go into all the world, in our mission statement. We are devoted to loving God and loving people. How? How? By reaching out across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus Christ. Not just believers, people that will function as a follower of Jesus. That's our mission statement. That's why we get such opposition here in our approach to things, but we endeavor to stay the course because we believe, you believe, that is what God is asking his people to do. Number two, we bear the image of God. That's also very important. We recognize that, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So that's important. Every person is made in the image of God. Angels are not made in the image of God. Only humans are. And constitute male and female really put together. Closest thing to the Trinity is the marriage unit, is the family. No wonder why that's under assault. And no wonder why we're seeing that there's such an opposition. You have now efforts to distort the gender and sexuality, you have such efforts to try to confuse all of that is demonic, all of that is a distortion against the image of God. Yes. Number three, we proclaim the truth of God. That's why we get opposition. Man, nothing like truth to set people free. Yeah. Oh man, when I found Jesus and the Word, it's like, this is what I've been looking for. So when we look here in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So we get to proclaim the freedom to the captives of the world, show people the power of truth. No wonder why lies are coming at us, or deceptions, or things are being said about you in the workplace, or in the school settings, because you bring the truth. You are the embodiment of truth. Everybody should have Jesus and the Word of God marked on them. So why do you think there's such an attack on absolute truth in our society? Let's confuse it. So everybody just says, well, that's their truth, or that's what they do. So it's going to be important. That's what I love about Hope Chapel. Man, we are full gospel. And we just go for all the Word. Let's go and enjoy it. Man, it's written. It's printed. Let's have at it. Number four, we possess supernatural power from God. Many of you are still waiting to tap into that power, but it's there. That power is God. Check it out with me. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So that power of God is where? It's in you. No wonder why you're getting opposition. Let me tell you, it's sure great to hear some missionary stories when they're on the mission field and a possessed person recognizes who just walked in the door. That missionary, that person like you, filled with the Spirit of God, changes the dimension. It's powerful. It's real. It's very true. So it's going to be important. We have that power and we recognize that. So why do you think he works so hard to keep you from praying of anything? Man, stick into that power source. How often do you pray? I mean, that's going to show you have confidence in yourself by how much you pray. That's your source of power. And please join Ainsley and me on Thursday night. It's the National Day of Prayer. A presidential proclamation on Thursday, it's the National Day of Prayer. We're asked to pray, 1 Timothy 2:2. That we're to pray for all kings in authority, that we could live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and reverence. I'd like to live in a peaceful and godly environment, wouldn't you? Then let's pray it in. Let's pray it in. I'll see you there, 6:30. City Hall. And it's going to be important that we get a chance to do that. So number two, Satan's methods in this world. So we were looking at his purpose. Why does he go after even us? Why? We didn't do anything wrong. How about his methods? Well, let's take a look, because the one and true way of his methods, it's deception. Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever signed a contract that you say, well, hey, you didn't tell me everything about this. Man, that's how he works. I didn't think that this addiction is going to take everything from me. Nobody told me that. So it's a deception. So letter A, Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers. This is how he operates in the world. We saw this before, but it's worth repeating in case maybe you're visiting online for the first time. But 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. So when we say unbelievers, what is an unbeliever? That's a person that does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's a good guy, he may have existed, good teacher, had some influence, but he's not anything that we really need to invest in. That's an unbeliever. And remember that what we're talking about here, this is not something that is captured intellectually. You're not going to get this stuff intellectually. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Remember, there's another dimension, Bible says. So people are not going to catch things that are spiritual. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians. Very important, chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They can't even understand it because it is spiritually discerned. So it's important we get a chance to remind ourselves about that. Letter B, Satan deceives people with partial truth. Now, that is something that we see quite often now. People just, they don't know their word. They don't really want to grow up. They just basically are going to, well, we'll just see what happens, kind of end of the rainbow kind of a thing. But check out in Luke chapter 4, verse 9, when Satan throws the scripture at Jesus. It says, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, I will order his angel to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now, it's interesting when we take a look at this. He's trying to use the scripture to have Jesus operate outside of what God wants done. Go ahead and do this. You can do this. God's going to protect you. Man, that is, you've got to watch out for that. There are people that are saying, well, that sounds kind of right. I remember something like, oh, God, for God so loved the world, therefore he's going to just love everybody into heaven. It could be really, really troubling and wrong. So partial truths are a favorite tactic. It's a false sense of security. So that's that area. I find it often with, let's just let God's love lead the way. And we find that people stop telling others about the need for Jesus. A God who's a God of love would never cause anybody harm. Therefore, we never call anybody to repent or the life change or really step into the truth. Let's go to number C. Satan distracts people with counterfeit religion. Now, that's going to be really prevalent as we see the end times start to really heighten and approach. Because remember, Satan's called the angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. So he takes advantage of our design as people who want to follow something or worship something or believe in a leader we'll select or vote for. We're going to follow that person. And Satan is glad to give you anything to follow. Just don't follow and worship God. He'll give you an alternative so that you will worship that. The number of world religions, according to some estimates, is now up to 4,200. 4,000. That's including everything that involves religions, churches, denominations, Religious bodies, faith groups, tribes, cultures, movements, and groups that just have ultimate concerns for something becomes their religion. Okay, you give their life to it. 4,200. So you can see it's pretty active. Most of 75% of the globe is going after something that's not true. We've got some praying to do, don't you think?
Yes.
Don't you feel glad that you're even here? That God saw fit to send somebody to your door to say, would you consider Jesus? You ought to thank that relative. You ought to thank that neighbor. Maybe that great-great-grandmother that prayed you in. Who knows? How about, let's go a little bit further. Letter D, Satan fascinates people with the supernatural. That is a big one, and it could seem harmless thing to have a palm reader look at you, or tarot cards, or somebody wanting to communicate to the dead because you sure miss your relative, or the possibility of a psychic. Now, they must be doing business because I still see their signs up on Beach Boulevard. It's like, yeah, I pray against that every time I go by. But, you know, there's a market there. I hear there in Guatemala that the Mayan spiritism merged together with Catholicism. So a little bit of truth, a little bit of error. What about believers in Jesus? What is, remember, we're looking at viewing game video of how the enemy would come at you. We're all into Jesus. So here we go. Got nine of them. We're going to take a look as quickly as we can. And remember, it's always going to be the battlefield of the mind. It's going to happen. Satan does not know what you're thinking. He has no ability, but he can just put thoughts into your mind. He can whisper something that sounds like, yeah, I can't, where did that come from? Sounds like me. So we have to be careful about that. He'll introduce thoughts to us. And how we choose to think is essential to this battle. You going to go with that thought? You going to walk that one out? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this: those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. So you can see here, that's why we did the series of the Holy Spirit. Please go back to the website, check under resource, get in the Holy Spirit in you, check it out, so significant. There is a difference to a bona fide, born-again believer who's going to live by the flesh or allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. There is going to be many opportunities for you to do either or. It's your call. It's your decision. So Satan doesn't want you to submit to God. He's just going to remind you, take care of the flesh. You deserve it. It'll end up causing you to become hostile to God, probably even upset with God's people, giving you more reason why I don't need that. I just don't need that. I'm going to take care of myself. Do it my way. Here are nine ways. Let's see if we can take care of that. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, Satan deceives us of our identity. You have a sheet that was given to you coming on in. We won't go over this, but this is for you. You take a look at that. So basically, it's who I am in Christ declarations. You just read that to yourself. Spend some time on the Word. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're more than just a church attender. You are a world changer and a citizen of heaven. So it's going to be very powerful to you mind yourself that. And here's one example. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us? For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they simply don't know him. They just don't know him. They don't know what you're fascinated about. probably the works of darkness. They don't understand why God loves you so much, why he would send himself to redeem you. It's phenomenal. Who are these mere people that are frail? Why do you invest such power and authority into them? Wow. Incredible. So when we take a look here, number two, Satan deceives us of our purpose. Of our purpose. You have been birthed with a purpose. You want to be able to go when your time is done on this earth, say, man, I think I gave it the best shot I could with my purpose for God. I've been around a lot of scenes where people are expiring. Most feel I still have a lot to give. I still feel I haven't done enough. And that's a good feeling. There's always more to do, but you don't want to hold anything back. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago or before time." God has a purpose for you. Why would he even make you? Why would he cause you to face such suffering if you are suffering? To face such onslaught? Why would he? There's got to be a purpose in there. There's got to be a reason. So believers struggle believing this truth. But you are literally designed, according to Scripture, with a purpose. That's why we have Reaching for the Crown discipleship program. Its efforts here at Hope Chapel is to get you off the seat and engaged. It's going to be important. Number three, Satan deceives us of our freedom. There's freedom in Jesus. I love my life, but I've got to maintain that freedom. And that's why in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, says this, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free." How does that happen? How will that work? Well, that freedom that we have, we can start to think like our flesh and behave the way our flesh wants. That's how we start to give it up. We never tell ourselves no. We know what God may want, but you know what? I don't think it's all that bad. And then well-meaning Christians get what's called into bondage. And that bondage becomes quite addictive. And they think another lie, they can never be free. I can never be set free. I'm convinced freedom is not possible. And that's how it happens. So Satan tries to deceive you of your freedom. Watch out. It starts by just caving into your desires a little bit more than you should. Watch out. Number four, Satan deceives us of our unity. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Probably will share that City Hall. I'm covering the church for that category of prayer. But verse 10 says, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." I like that. I just sound so good. I am such a churchman. It's like, man, Jesus named us, purchased us with his blood. He's going to protect us. Gates of hell won't prevail. Man, he's going to build us. He's going to build you. I take that promise. Stand with it. But unity is very important. And many Christians believe their opinions and their feelings are more important than maintaining unity in the body of Christ. They will roughshod at times, and I've seen such destruction happen when they go after their feelings and feel like, hey, man, I matter. So it's essential for our mission of a church globally, maintain that unity. Because the world we're trying to witness to sees disunity. Watch out. Watch out. Ainsley knows my heart. I grieve when I enjoy Christian radio. And then somebody gets on the phone and badmouths a church or a teaching that I know is just, that's in the word. It just grieves me that it's now broadcast not just to a church membership. Hey, let's get the members together. We've got some false doctrine here. But they share it to public broadcasting, and it's out there in the open. Oh, it's just so destructive. to the body of Christ and our witness to society. Don't let that happen. Be careful about that. So, number four, Satan deceives us of our unity. Then we go on to number five. Let's go on with that. Satan deceives us of our power in Christ. I like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So Satan wants believers to think and feel powerless, weak, timid, afraid, overwhelmed. Why? So he can control them. With fear, usually. You have no power. Have you ever had somebody just lie to you? You know that's a lie. You know that's a lie. That thing is lying to me. That's not right. We're going to talk about that next week. Say, man, you're coming against those lies, and they will leave you alone. But be careful, because you have power. And Satan knows he has no answer for the church that walks in the power of Almighty God. Glory to God. That gets me just pumped thinking about that. Man. Oh, we better move, see how far we can cover the next couple. Number six, Satan deceives us trusting the Word of God. He does not care how much you know about the Word of God. He does not care. Just don't put it to practice. He will come along and tell you, you go ahead and just talk about how mature you are because of how much you know. He does not mind. Just don't do it. Just don't use it. In James chapter 1, verse 22, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." So he also just wants us to doubt the word of God. Promises. Hard truth is, man, there are a lot of people that just are not doing the word of God. Well educated. They just don't think it's up to them to get it done. Be careful about that. Satan can erode your trust in God's word. He'll cause you then next to look at alternatives to the word of God. I don't really think I'm going to use this. I'll find another self-help book. Maybe a good reading devotional. Yeah, that might be good. So let's be careful. Let's be careful. Number seven, Satan deceives us about our loyalties. I like the fact, when we take a look in Matthew 6, 24, "No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." And it doesn't have to be money. It can be anything that divides your loyalty. It could be a hobby. It could be a thing like maybe your career or relationships or just fleet feelings. He does not care. Works of darkness does not care. As long as you divide your loyalty. And remember, the reason why Jesus brings up money, because some people still think money is the answer to their security. And only God can answer that. People think, if I have enough money, I'll be happy. Only God can answer your happiness. People think, if I have enough money, I can move there or do that. And that's still letting money call the shots for you. If you haven't even prayed about it, be careful about that. That's why money can become a demigod and it can control you. Number eight, Satan deceives us regarding reality. Let me hit that one as well. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." So Satan wants to get believers to live merely for this earthly existence. When was the last time you thought about eternity? When was the last time you realized, man, I'm just passing through here. I'm just a pilgrim. Some of your rewards will arrive later. It's going to help you to go through some hard times and difficulties and hardships, knowing that this is not your final destination. So to ignore this spiritual reality really puts a disadvantage to the believers. Think that there is not another destination, or that there is not anything out there supernaturally, really will set you up for confusion. and some real heartache. And finally, number seven, Satan deceives us with religion. And 2 Timothy finally says, verse 3, about the end times, but he says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Basically, religion's believing that we can embrace the offer of forgiveness of sins and eternal life without any commitment to Jesus. No fitting of Jesus in there. That's a religion. It's man's way of trying to reach God. But Jesus has come to give you a relationship. How about it? Let's have that relationship. Let's bend our heads down. Let's close our eyes just for a moment here. Let's trust the Lord. As he works of darkness wants to deceive people in some other form of religion. Wouldn't it be your time right now to say, I want to give my life fully to the Lord? I think we're going to see some real breakthroughs, even today with our prayer wall possibility going on, even next week or this week. But if you can, with me, let's just pray a simple prayer of commitment out loud. Would you join me? It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge to you my great need for you. I can't do life without you. And I ask you, Lord, forgive me for doing so much without you. I make you my Lord. You are my Savior, but now you're my Lord. What you want is what I want. What you want me to lay down, I lay down. Lord, show me your path. May my life bring you glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? I want to thank you. So grateful for the way that God's working in our lives. Thank you, dear friends and dear ones. I'm going to invite Ainsley now. She comes. Thank you, honey.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.